Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm interviewing Dr. Pamela Smith. She is a guru in the women's health space, but today she's going to be talking about the immune system and what to do to maximize your immunity. And in fact, she has a book that came out not too long ago called Max Your Immunity. So today we're going to be talking all about that. We're also going to be talking about an amazing product called Cofix, which is an iodine nasal spray that can help to reduce microbes in your nose. Now I'm talking about viruses, I'm talking about yeast, I'm talking about funguses, I'm talking about mold, bacteria, you name it. Cofix is pretty amazing for that. So we're going to dive in and talk about that as well. Now, Dr. Smith is a medical doctor. She's been in the game for 48 years, with 20 of those years at the Detroit Medical Center, which is a level one trauma center in Detroit. She was an ER doctor. Holy cow, I can't believe she made it 20 years there. And now she's been practicing functional medicine for 28 in Michigan as well. Now, she sits on a lot of boards. She is a just guru in the anti-aging space as well. And she has multiple books, 11 best-selling books. She's been on multiple documentaries and shows. She even had her own show at one point. So this gal has been in the trenches and in the medical field for a long time, and she's got a lot of great information. And I can't wait to share all of her knowledge with you. So let's jump into the podcast. Hello there, health junkies. I am honored today to have Dr. Pamela Smith on with me today. She is like, oh my goodness, the amazing, I would say queen of helping folks with functional medicine, in particular hormones and bioidentical hormones. She's the goddess there. So thank you so much for coming on. Today, we're going to be talking about her new book, and we're going to be talking about a product that has literally saved me throughout all of this pandemic stuff, but really just a great antiviral. And we're going to talk about what we can do with that. So thanks again, Dr. Smith, for coming on. I appreciate it.
Very happy to be here.
So let's talk about your book first, because it kind of leads us into everything. And the big question that everybody's been talking about so much lately is, how do we improve our immune system? And with your book, Max Your Immunity, we were just chatting about it and talking about the three parts and how folks can do that. So tell us a little bit about, where did this idea come from in terms of how can we max that immunity? Where did it, was it the pandemic, or were you thinking about it even before?
Actually, it was the pandemic. I was writing the next edition of my book, What You Must Know About Women's Hormones, and the pandemic came out, and my second edition of What You Must Know About Women's Hormones comes out tomorrow.
Nice.
So it did get done. But in the interim, I ended up writing this book really because it's important to know about the immune system. You know, many people believe that they should just take everything in the entire world without counsel of a naturopath, a physician, a nurse clinician, a PA, an exercise physiologist. And really, you can take too many things. You can make the immune system hyperimmune and actually get an autoimmune disease. And because I was worried about that, that's what started me writing the book.
Nice. No, this is something that I think I see quite often with patients. They'll come in and they'll bring their two bags of supplements and they're like, all right, doc, what do I need? And you're like, oh, wow, how long have you been taking all of these for? And you have what symptoms that started? Oh, no.
Well, absolutely. And when it comes to the immune system anyway, people do not realize that the GI tract is so important, the gut. Because 70% of the immune system's in the gut. This is certainly your area of purview, as it is mine. If the gut's not healthy, the patient is just not healthy, and they will not have a good immune system. It doesn't matter if they're 5 years old, 30 years old, or 80 years of age. The gut has to be healthy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Of course, it's my jam, but it's also one of those things that I think it's nice to hear, have other people repeat it for me too. Kind of like when you tell your kids something like, yeah, yeah. But when someone else says it, it's a whole nother ball game. And bringing your expertise to it, I think this is something that, you know, folks, if I didn't already say it in the intro to this podcast, I mean, Dr. Smith is the guru when it comes to hormones and getting your metabolism dialed in and really getting things dialed in for your body. And we have to look at the gut as being the main source of everything. So with folks thinking about the gut and talking about, okay, what we've been through a lot these last couple of years, everybody's stressed. How, you know, could you help folks understand how stress really affects the immunity, but also in particular, the gut and what really is happening on that level?
Stress affects everything. I razz people when I teach that if you don't know the answer on the test, whether it's an oral or written exam, just say stress. And if it's a nutrient, you don't know the answer, just say fish oil, because everything's related to inflammation. And I really do mean that seriously. Stress is related to everything. A little bit of stress is actually good. It helps you get right on. It helps memory. But too much stress compromises the immune system. It drives up cholesterol, blood sugar, blood pressure. It puts weight on you. The thyroid, which regulates everything in your body, does not work as well if you're stressed. All of those things happen. So we have to work on stress with stress reduction techniques. I mean, prayer, meditation, tai chi, yoga, qigong, exercise, massage, breathing techniques. My personal favorite beside prayer is acupuncture. I absolutely love acupuncture. It's fabulous for stress. In fact, my own acupuncturist, every time I go in, she says, what do you want to work on today? And one time I said my shoulder, every other time it's been stress because it is so fabulous. But, you know, people don't know if they're stressed. A lot of times people live with stress so much, but they think that they're not stressed. And when we do a saliva test, they're surprised to find out because science doesn't lie. So I should encourage everybody out there, please get a saliva test and look at cortisol, your stress hormone, 8 in the morning. Do a test at 12 noon, do one around 5 p.m. or 10, 11 p.m. at night, do 4-point cortisol. And then you can really see, are you stressed or not? And then if you are, we can do those stress reduction techniques and other things as well.
Oh my goodness. Yes. The saliva cortisol test is my main gauge to see what's happening here. And I think a lot of people will have great insights, especially to the time of the day, because sometimes you don't realize, oh my gosh, you know, my cortisol might be normal during other times, but at night, holy cow, it goes up. I wonder why I can't sleep.
Or they don't realize, they think their work is not stressful and their cortisol is normal when they wake up and it's normal at home, but the one at noon and at 5 p.m. are high. And then they go, oh, I guess maybe my work is actually stressful.
It's a great way to kind of bring people out of that, I'm not stressed, I'm completely fine thing, which is so common. I'm glad to hear that you hear it too, because I started to think, was there something wrong with me?
No, not at all. And you know, adaptogenic herbs are so important. People wonder what else they can do. Certainly ashwagandha, ginseng, rhodiola. And I love calming herbs like chamomile and lemon balm. In fact, honestly, I keep calming herbs in my desk. I keep one on my kitchen counter. If something happens that I'm really stressed, you can just take an extra one. The good news is the great formulations don't even make you sleepy. They just take the edge off a little bit.
It's true. It's true. That's what I love. That's what I love about those. And oh my gosh, lemon balm, so easy and just minimal side effects too. In interactions, I don't believe there are any that I know of.
There's really not. It mixes with every known medicine. So it's nice and easy to take.
I love those. So guys, make sure you're taking some notes while we're talking here, because you are getting a chance to get some insights into some good stuff here. So we were talking a little bit about sleep. And we were talking a little bit about how that kind of plays into the stress component too. Now, we just mentioned some adaptogenic herbs. Are there certain things that you love for sleep for folks to help them to kind of ease in, but also to stay asleep?
Absolutely. And some of this depends on stress. Some of it depends on the age of the patient, whether they're male or female. Certainly when it comes to women, as their progesterone goes low, either with PCOS, polycystic ovarian, PMS, perimenopause, menopause, their progesterone may actually be low, or if they're on oral contraceptives, the progesterone will be low and they may have some sleeping issues. So we can do a salivary test and measure, replace progesterone in people who need it, but also we can do a saliva test and measure melatonin levels, melatonin being the sleeping hormone. And it's measured 8 in the morning, 5 p.m., and 3 a.m. with the lights off. And that means cell phone, no cell phone turning it on either. The light's totally off. And it's so important because melatonin is not just about sleep. Melatonin is an immune modulator. And what that means is it helps the immune system. In fact, melatonin is so important for the immune system that we use it to treat cancer. Great studies on breast cancer, women with stage 4, they take a big dose of melatonin, 20 milligrams with or without chemotherapy. And the studies have shown that it is very effective. Also, when we go back and we measure the big doses, the levels are not even high of melatonin. The body has figured out that it's using it to modulate the immune system, meaning help build the immune system to fight cancer. But you know what? Melatonin does the same thing when it comes to fighting viruses. It's an immune modulator, and some people need to take melatonin. Some people don't. Some people need a little baby dose. If you have too much melatonin, then serotonin, your happy neurotransmitter, goes down. But most people can take up to 1 milligram of melatonin without a problem.
I found that too. But yes, too much, you definitely will feel a little groggy on that side. Now, you mentioned something that I had listened to before in one of your webinars about the melatonin helping for long hauler types of situations with folks that have had some issues with the most recent pandemic virus and feeling things just weren't letting go. And I found that absolutely fascinating that you discovered the melatonin to be quite helpful there.
It is. And for those people who do not know what COVID long haul is, depending on the medical trial that you read, between 40 and 50% of people are getting COVID long haul, meaning that more than 3 months after having COVID, they still have some sort of major symptom. Some people define it as more than 6 months later, and people may still have fatigue, they may still have insomnia, they may have other symptoms that are related to the actual infection. And that's called COVID long haul syndrome. People can also get COVID long haul from the vaccine. People are sensitive and some people are not. I did get the vaccine. I'm almost 68 years of age. And so for me, it was great to get the vaccine. So I'm certainly not anti-vaccine, but people can get side effects from a disease or the vaccine itself. And they can get COVID long haul. And that is something that we do need to treat in many patients because it may actually be, they're considering now perhaps an autoimmune disease where the body is really starting to attack itself.
Yeah. I've noticed that there are some very similarities between that and an Epstein-Barr virus, the reactivated Epstein-Barr. It seems like it's a very similar correlation between the two.
Well, we're starting to see that. You know, Epstein-Barr is basically what causes mononucleosis. And 95% of people in the entire world have had Epstein-Barr infections, but you can get a reactivation. People with MS commonly have a reactivation of Epstein-Barr. People with rheumatoid arthritis, we are now starting to see that with people who have COVID long haul, where if you go back and measure Epstein-Barr, they may have had a reactivation. And we are starting to treat that reactivation to help people minimize their side effects from having the long haul syndrome.
Makes sense. Now, you know, we were kind of talking before we jumped on the recording about how the treatment's going, what we're kind of doing to work on this viral load, really.
I look at it, and I was telling some patients before, and they kind of looked at me like I was a little bizarre, but I was like, well, I kind of think of viral load like hepatitis or HIV in terms of how much of the virus is active in the body. And so what I'm trying to do is bring that down. And of course, your book, Max Your Immunity, I'm sure is going to talk about a little nasal spray that I've been using quite a bit called Cofix that helps us to really bring down the viral activation in the system. So tell us a little bit about Cofix and how that kind of plays into working on viral load, but also working on prevention of virus infections as well.
Well, there have been several medical trials, five in all worldwide, looking at what can modulate or change the viral load so that people with SARS-CoV-2, the viral load would go down. And they did discover that iodine works for that. Again, some studies were done in Israel, some in the United States, and they all found the same thing. Fortunately, a company did come out with a nasal spray. It's called Cofix RX, and it does decrease the viral load according to the clinical trials. And one dose is a spray in each nostril with the head upright. You can have too much iodine. So if people are on an iodine supplement, that should be stopped while they're using the Cofix. And, you know, I use it myself for when I get into a plane or I'm in some place, I'm going to a wedding where there's going to be a lot of people. We also use it for people who've had COVID long haul and COVID itself as part of their adjunct therapy. You can use it with an antiviral. So the new antivirals that are out to treat COVID have great clinical trials, and you can use the Cofix RX right with the antiviral.
That's really neat to use. I think it's great because you also, I mean, it's also iodine and then you've got some vitamin D in there, which I think for a lot of folks, even though the awareness is out there, we know that we need to have vitamin D. It seems that just isn't getting in the system somehow, and we're not getting outside either.
Well, vitamin D is actually a pro-hormone or hormone. They called it a vitamin before they knew its chemical structure. And it's one of the most important things that you can have is vitamin D, but you get most of it from the sun. And I happen to have olive skin, so I can go out in the sun without burning, but most people can't. And you're very fair. And so people need to wear sunscreen. When you do, then 98% of the vitamin D does not get absorbed. And so we do measure vitamin D levels. You can get toxic in vitamin D, so you shouldn't take, you know, 10,000 international units without measuring. Please see your healthcare provider to have the levels measured. And we usually measure them twice a year for summer and winter, particularly where I practice in Michigan. The amount you need does change. But the sweet spot is 55 to 80 on the lab. Mm-hmm. And that's what we call the optimal level, not just normal, like 44 is normal, but optimal is 55 to 80. And studies by Grant, Garland, and others have shown if you keep it 55 to 80, that it helps prevent and work with breast cancer. The same thing we're finding with infections like COVID, that is the sweet spot. There are some people who cannot take a lot of vitamin D because of other diseases they may have, like hyperparathyroidism, some people with active cancer, people with sarcoid, Crohn's, TB, then they have to be very diligent on measuring or calcium can go up. But for the majority of the population, not just in the US, but worldwide, we are looking at a more optimal level of vitamin D than we used to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. In Washington state where I do practice, it's definitely a factor. Most people, I will pull their vitamin D and it is low, 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 low. And typically I'm looking in February. And then I do like to look, you know, again, before we head into the winter for folks kind of coming off. I wait till we get through like into September, early October. And then I start to see where we're at heading in because boy, I've never seen levels so low as what I've tested when I've been in Washington state. I used to live in Colorado prior to that. Wasn't as low, higher altitude, sunshine, a little more available. So it makes sense as where you live. So folks, you got to be thinking about that. And that's why I like that we also have the vitamin D within the Cofix product. Now, as part of your regimen, you were saying you use the Cofix if you're headed out and you're going out and about. I've been doing it that way too. Been doing that before I see patients, of course, before I get on a plane. I think a lot of folks might be thinking now, is iodine okay to be using long-term? Can I use this for years and years and years?
Well, we can measure levels of iodine to answer that question. So Cofix was not designed at this point in time to use daily. The company is going to come out with a product shortly for daily use. Right now, the dosage that it's at is not. You can get iodine toxic, and you can do an iodine test. It's a urine study. It's very inexpensive, and that way you know if you have the right amount of iodine. And iodine, by the way, is so important because you need iodine to make your thyroid work, and thyroid regulates the entire body, and that does include the immune system as well. So everything that works in your body works when your thyroid is perfect, and the immune system is part of that.
Ah, so there's this concept of the perfect thyroid you mentioned. And I think this is like a huge quest for many, many women. So going back to your book for a minute, maximizing the immunity. So how do we max your immunity for the thyroid? Now I'm thinking it's probably the same as everybody else, correct? Or are there certain things that thyroid folks want to be thinking about?
Well, the thyroid really does regulate everything. And the trouble is it's like vitamin D. There's normal levels and there's optimal levels. So let's begin by looking at something called TSH, which stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. It's not thyroid hormone, it's the hormone that stimulates the thyroid to be produced. Mm-hmm. The perfect level is the lowest limit of normal up to 2. For people that are 80, up to 2.5. Now the lab may say that 5.5 or 4 is the upper limit of normal. That's not optimal. Optimal is up to 2. If you're older, up to 2.5. And then the body functions better. You have more energy. Your memory is more rapid fire. Your cholesterol, blood sugar, blood pressure, all of those are very much related to thyroid function. But that would be an optimal level. And then you make 2 thyroid hormones, T3 and T4, and we measure those too. So we measure the free T3 and the free T4, which means the bioavailable, the amount that's available for the body to use. Most practitioners only measure TSH, or maybe TSH and free T4. T3 is the one that helps with heart health, energy, et cetera. And then I know you do what I do. You measure the reverse T3 as well, which looks at stored thyroid and how thyroid gets into the body. And honestly, unless you see someone that does an anti-aging precision medicine approach like you and I do, reverse T3 never gets measured. Even by endocrinologists, it's rarely looked at. And then, of course, we look at thyroid antibodies. 70% of women to 60%, depending on the trial, that are hypothyroid, meaning low thyroid function, they actually have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, meaning their antibodies are positive, meaning they do have an autoimmune disease process. And we want to make sure that we work with them if the antibodies are positive to try and either normalize them or at least lower them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a common one that folks, they'll be like, what's Hashimoto's? I've never had my antibodies tested. And I'm like, well, I think it's worth knowing. I've had a couple docs say it's not, everyone has it. So don't bother with it. But I'm kind of thinking, no, I do want to know about that.
Absolutely. Your point is so well taken because not everybody does have positive antibodies. Number one, particularly men. Mm-hmm. Okay. Most of them do not have positive antibodies and 30% of women don't either. But if the antibodies are positive, there are 3 things that we do for every single disease process that's autoimmune, all 106 of them. 1, take the patient off of gluten. And I know you do that. And we always recommend that. Take the patient off of gluten. 2, we fix the gut. Since 70% of the immune system's in the gut. And 3, we do put the patient on something called low-dose naltrexone. It's a prescription, it's compounded, and regular naltrexone in the normal dose is what we use for a drug overdose. But in low dose, very small doses, it actually decreases inflammation. And when people have an autoimmune disease, they're inflamed, And the low dose naltrexone decreases that inflammatory component.
I can't believe how well low dose naltrexone works. I'm shocked, you know, over and over again, how impressive it truly is with such a small amount. I mean, a lot of people in my practice, you know, some of them are going 2.5, not even up to the 5 or 6 that folks have been talking about. I did listen to one of your webinars talking about long haulers and using a little bit of low dose naltrexone to help with the inflammation there too. And being quite impressed by what I saw in some of my patients once I added it back into their regimens too.
We've actually even been using low dose naltrexone for people who have COVID to work in conjunction with their antiviral agent, et cetera. We use low dose naltrexone for weight loss. We use it for diabetes, heart disease, cancer. We use it for many things, anything that's inflammatory. There's actually now over 100 different disease processes that healthcare providers worldwide are using low dose naltrexone in. Anything inflammatory, and yes, that does include COVID, which is an inflammatory disease.
It's interesting because, you know, I had in my practice quite a few folks that with diabetes, we are not getting their numbers down. They were dialing in their diet, you know, stress was something that was hard for them to work on. And when I listened to one of your talks about using low-dose naltrexone, folks, sometimes you'll hear me call this LDN for short, low-dose naltrexone equals LDN. I had used it for my diabetes folks. And all of a sudden we finally are getting numbers down. Their A1Cs are down, the regular numbers are down. I'm like, holy cow. This is impressive.
It's amazing. I was surprised too with my diabetics that it truly was a game changer. If you ask me, two different medications in my 44 years of practice that really have been game changers, low dose naltrexone and hormones for men and women. They are very much game changers for people.
So let's talk about hormones for a minute in relation to immunity, because I think there still is, despite you talking, your books, me, all the other folks that are out there talking about bioidentical hormones, there still is a lot of stigma about it that, oh, it's not really going to help me. Oh, it's going to give me cancer, things of that nature. But more importantly, the connection to the immunity and having your hormones dialed in. Can you speak a little bit to that for folks?
Absolutely. First of all, there are no studies showing that natural hormones, which are prescription for men or women, increases the risk of any kind of cancer. There's actually studies showing that it decreases the risk as long as they're properly prescribed and balanced with the other hormones. So that's issue number one. Number two, when it comes to hormones for both men and women, it does build the immune system. For women, estrogen in particular, for men, testosterone, but also the hormones made in the adrenal glands, the glands that sit above the kidneys, they make a hormone called DHEA, which makes estrogen and testosterone in both men and women. One of DHEA's major job is to regulate the immune system, and DHEA balances cortisol, that stress hormone we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. I like DHEA. I find in small amounts for myself, it's been quite useful. I'm in perimenopause, not quite menopause yet, but I found it to be quite useful for myself and quite a few patients too.
And we measure those levels as well on that same saliva test. It's like any hormone, you can get too much, any nutrient, you can get too much as well.
Let's talk about nutrients for a minute, because you do have a section in your book, Max Your Immunity, all about nutrients. Now, I think a lot of folks are always kind of like, do I take a multivitamin? Do I not? I know that you are always saying fish oil, multivitamin for sure for folks. And magnesium, I think, is the other one on one of your standards. But tell us a little bit about what kind of nutrients in particular are key for helping your immune system.
Well, everybody does need a multivitamin. It's, of course, you want to eat your way into every nutrient. It's paramount, but it's hard to eat your way into every single thing in today's world. So a multivitamin is a great place to start because people are inflamed. Omega-3 fatty acids like fish oil are great anti-inflammatory. Of course, it's great to eat fish that is freshwater or fish that's way, way, way out in the Atlantic and Alaska, which is not full of mercury. But taking fish oil is paramount for almost everyone. Vitamin D, is key for everyone as well. I do have two patients in my practice that don't need vitamin D. So again, you do have to measure. Probiotics, good bacteria, is something that every single person needs to be on. That includes children as well. If you're 100 years of age, you still need good bacteria. And then the other one that you mentioned is magnesium. It does have 300 functions in the body. So with 300 functions for magnesium, including a nice calming effect, it balances calcium. It makes the mitochondria, the engines in the body, work better. It's very important to look at that too.
I love magnesium. I've played between the orals and the soakables. I've got a gal that I get liquid, my feet soaks in the magnesium, and I'm really digging that. What format of magnesium do you particularly like for folks who are kind of interested in wanting to dabble with magnesium a little bit?
Well, most healthcare professionals either use magnesium glycinate mm-hmm. or magnesium threonate. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that most healthcare professionals do suggest.
Those are good ones. Yeah, I would absolutely agree. Threonate, I kind of like a little for someone's got some brain fog and needing to get some stuff going in there and nerves and things of that nature.
Great. Absolutely.
Good to know. Now, of course, I want to circle to that gut stuff, since 70% of the immune system's in the gut. And I know it's a big topic, so I saved it for last for us to kind of highlight things and help folks to really understand what are some things that folks can be thinking about in terms of maxing their immunity with their gut. We talk magnesium, we talk probiotics. What other kind of things could folks be starting to think about when it comes to their gut?
Well, again, starting with probiotic is really very good. If you do have an autoimmune disease, for all the listeners out there, your gut is not healthy by definition. So I've never had a patient in all these years with any autoimmune disease that their gut health came back normal. So it's a specialized test. It's not one that's done at a traditional hospital. It's a functional medicine test, where we actually, it's a stool test. We look at gut health and we treat according to the lab results. You know, some people need digestive enzymes because they don't make enough enzymes or they don't chew their food well enough. So many people, and I'm so glad naturopaths talk about this as well. So many people just bolt down their food and they don't slow down. It's really hard to make the digestive enzymes in your mouth if you don't chew the food. And even if someone's juicing, we still have them chew the juice so that the digestive enzymes are made. So some people need digestive enzymes. Some people don't have enough hydrochloric acid in the gut. It sounds like when you hear commercials that, oh, it's evil to have acid in your gut. It's not. 40% of people don't have enough acid. It kills off bad bacteria, et cetera. So we can test and see where your acid stands in your gut. We can see if you are having inflammation in the gut. If there's inflammation there, it's a big source of inflammation. We want to calm down that inflammatory component. People can have an infection. It does not always show up on a traditional test. They can have yeast. They can have bad bacteria. There's a lot to look at in the gut.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Yes, there is. I can attest to that for sure, especially, I mean, we are lucky enough now to have the stool testing capabilities that we do have with the multiple different GI maps and GI 360, all the different GI effects. There's so many different great tests out there that we have this capability. And I do think that really, I don't know how you feel about this, but I do feel like if someone's really wanting to get better and really wanting to move forward with their health, they need a gut test. They need a stool test.
Absolutely. It is the key component beside looking at your stress hormones and other hormones. Everybody needs to have a gut health test. There honestly isn't anybody in my practice who has not had one. It's paramount to have that gut functioning perfectly and not just sort of. It's not normal to have reflux, GERD, IBS, constipation, diarrhea. Those things are not healthy. But there's also extra intestinal symptoms. You know, some people have symptoms that they don't relate to the gut, but they're having the symptoms because the gut's not healthy, like fatigue and muscle aches and pains and things of that nature. So people can have symptoms that occur outside the gut, but actually the cause is in the gut.
Yes. And I think that's important because a lot of people aren't thinking about, you know, if it's not happening in the gut, it's, you know, it's not a gut thing. And this is something that I like to educate on and drive home quite a bit that there are other issues that can happen. So nevertheless, I think looking at the gut is always something we need to be 100% thinking about all the time, all the time.
I agree. And I'm going to put my 10 cents in for water.
Yeah.
People do not drink enough water. That does not mean soda pop. It does not need tea. It does not mean coffee. It means plain old purified water. Water is so important because a lot of people are dehydrated. And even not having enough water compromises the immune system as well.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Lubrication from the water. And then I think there is, like you said, filtered purified water. I think this is a huge component because so many of us are dealing with being dehydrated on top of not having clean water. So now we have another layer. Of course, I'd rather just have people get water if purification is a barrier, but things like the Berkey filters and having those kind of filters are ideal. Do you have a favorite filtration system that you like?
Oh, actually, there's a number of really good ones out there and they're regional specific, but I actually have a filtration system for my whole house so that I shower in filtered water as well, because I want my hair and everything else to my whole body to have the right kind of water.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What about air filtration? Do you have a specific air filtration system in your house?
I do. And again, that's regional specific as to which companies, but it's paramount that it be pure as well. I cannot believe that 1 billion, with a B, 1 billion people still smoke cigarettes. With all we know about cigarette smoking, I cannot believe that 1 billion people still smoke. If you smoke, your immune system's compromised. If you smoke, you're right. Not everybody who smokes gets lung cancer, but almost everybody who smokes gets cognitive decline. A lot of people who smoke get macular degeneration and they have decreased vision. There's many other things that smoking will cause. So one of the big things we're trying to do now is to get people to quit smoking. There's so many ways we can help people do that.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Yes. I'm still shocked at that too. You know, you go out and you're like, how is it that with all of the stuff you've seen, that you still, I mean, I guess it goes with, you know, any type of addiction. It's kind of like getting people off their wine.
Moderation is the key to health when it comes to alcohol. I don't drink at all. And the reason I don't is because I have breast cancer in my family on both sides. Mm-hmm. And the studies have shown that if you drink alcohol and you have a gene for breast cancer and somebody who has a family history like mine, that alcohol in women does increase her risk of breast cancer, particularly if you have a poor family history. So, you know, everybody's got something. I have no diabetes in my family. It's probably not a disease I'm going to get as long as I eat right. There's not a diabetic anywhere, but we have breast cancer and heart disease because we're poor methylators. So I personally don't drink alcohol, but that's a personal decision. But anything for women past one drink, studies have shown do increase the risk of developing breast cancer.
I absolutely agree with you. I have a family history that's pretty huge with breast cancer too, with my mom dying, my aunt dying. And, you know, our genetics, interestingly enough, she had BRCA. I did not have any of them, which I got lucky in that department because I did the whole genetics workup. But I still, every time I do have a glass of wine, I'll be like, I shouldn't be doing this. Why am I doing this? I have to, you know, you have to work on that in your head. But yeah, it's definitely something to consider. And especially if you do have the genetics and methylation, you know, folks, if you're not familiar with the term methylation, we're talking about how your body detoxes and is able to clear things. And in particular, this is hormonal. If we're looking at breast cancer, I think we're looking at how someone detoxifies the estrogens in addition to B12 folate processing. But I think a lot of people think about methylation only in B12 and folate processing. I think a lot of people aren't aware of the hormone aspect.
Well, absolutely. And if you don't methylate well, you have an increased risk in heart disease, stroke, absolutely cognitive decline. So it's not just breast cancer and prostate cancer. There's many other diseases. The great news is you can fix all of this. You can look at methylation. If you're a poor methylator, the science is here to fix it in every single patient. And also a comment on alcohol, it's just liquid sugar. And so sugar causes inflammation. And that's a particular problem of mine is chocolate. I do love chocolate, and I really have to watch myself because if I get stressed, I reach for chocolate. And, you know, the less sugar that you have, the less inflamed you are.
Yes. Yes. That is huge. And I think for a lot of people, we're thinking about all these workarounds to the sugar. And I want to get your opinion on the sugar aspect, because yes, we know that real sugar can cause issues, but I think I'm starting to see, and this is more apparent to me in the Midwest, and I don't know if this happens in Michigan too, but when I go to all of my family parties, everybody's drinking the Coke Zeros and the Sprite Zeros and even Gatorade Zero. Like, what in the world? We just went to a party last weekend, so it's very, very in my mind right now, but it's the thing here in the Midwest. I don't see it as much in the West Coast, but can we speak a little bit to really what are these sugars that are fake sugars doing to us?
Well, studies done by Nancy Appleton and others, and Dr. Appleton was a PhD who, she is deceased now, but she spent her entire life studying sugar and its effects, and that includes synthetic sugars as well. It's just really simple. If something's fake, try and stay away from it. It's just that easy. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. If it's synthetic, always choose the natural approach. And when it comes to sugar, of course, natural sugars with fruit are great, but some people think it's okay to eat fruit all day long. And for some people, it's not. If you're like me and you have high triglycerides, and I inherited a gene where my triglycerides, the fat content are high, I can't have more than two servings of fruit in a day because it drives up my triglycerides. For people who are diabetic, if they eat more than two servings of fruit a day, it may drive up their blood sugar. And there are better fruits than others. So peaches, plums, nectarines, looking at blueberries, blackberries, et cetera, are much better choices than some of the other fruits as well.
Interesting. Peaches, plums, and nectarines. And Michigan is, of course, folks, just a little plug for Michigan and their peaches. Folks from Illinois will kill for Michigan peaches. They're good. But this is interesting because I think a lot of people are convinced that berries, like, you know, the whole low carb, low glycemic index thing has been burned in a lot of folks' brains. So peaches and nectarines. Okay. You've given me permission to expand a little.
Well, and I think that's something important that we mentioned. You know, a lot of people who want to be really healthy, they kind of get into a rut where they eat the same foods all the time. Now my patients, oh, I don't want to have heart disease, or I have heart disease, I have oatmeal every day. Well, nobody should eat the same thing every day for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's really important to have a variety of foods because that's part of how people develop allergies, is when they literally eat the same thing all the time. Oh no, I have a smoothie every morning and I always put raspberries in it, et cetera. Don't be surprised if you've done that for 5 years that you and raspberries don't get along anymore. It's important to have a variety of foods as well.
That's huge. That's huge. And goes back to gut immunity too, because if you're eating the same thing and you get a reaction, now we're going to have more chances for leaky gut.
Absolutely.
Okay. Folks, you heard it here. You cannot put your raspberries into your oatmeal every single morning, and you can't do the oatmeal every single morning, which now I'm going to get a bunch of messages. What do I eat? So, Dr. Smith, what do you eat for breakfast? What do you rotate? Give folks like your top rotators of what you do for breakfast. Cause I think a lot of folks might be wondering right now, okay, what do I do if I don't have oatmeal?
Well, this morning I did actually have raspberries and I had it with turkey sausage because it's important to have some protein with that carb. Yesterday I had steel cut oats and I put some almonds on it with some pecans for my protein. So it's important to have carb and protein together. When I'm having a really hard time with sugar cravings, then some good fat like avocado is great. So if I'm into my sugar phase, then I reach for my avocado, have a couple slices of avocado, which are very satiating. Good fat will actually satiate you a lot. And once a week, I do have what I quote unquote call my bad breakfast. Breakfast is my favorite meal. So it's moderation is the key to health. So once a week I have, gluten-free pancakes, or I may have some gluten-free toast as French toast. And I do that once a week, and the rest of the time I eat healthy.
I like to hear that because I think a lot of people will look at someone like you and I and go, oh my gosh, they probably never eat any flour-based products, or they never do, you know, they never do these things. Or I don't know if this happens to you, but if friends invite me for dinner, they're kind of like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to feed you. Or can you just bring the food? Does that happen to you?
It does. But I really have gotten used to, when I go to someone's house, finding food I can eat without asking ahead of time. And when I go to a restaurant, a really great tip is you're paying for the food. So I don't get a menu. I tell them what I would like to have. So I don't even ask for a menu. I don't look at the menu. I already kind of have decided what I'm going to have before I go into the restaurant. And so basically, again, you're paying for the food. Order the food that you would like to have.
Interesting. I never thought about doing it that way. I always think about, you know, the menu and modifying or reading the menu before I go to kind of have an idea. But interesting concept. You guys got to write this one down. You are paying for the food. I mean, it does make sense. I like it. Okay. So we've kind of traversed all aspects here of health and immunity and really kind of highlighting your book, Max Your Immunity. Can you show us again? Because this will definitely go out on YouTube and it'll go out on IGTV. There you go, folks. How to maximize your immune system when you need it most. Yes, absolutely. And right now that is the name of the game. Dr. Smith, thank you so much for coming on and just giving us some great info. And I think a lot of folks are going to be psyched to be writing and taking notes feverishly. I actually took some good notes here too during our chat. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for the invitation. And thank you for all the work that you do to help patients. I'm sure they greatly appreciate it, as do I.
Hey, Health Junkies, want to let you know that I have a new program. It's called the Defy Aging Formula. And if you're interested and want to know if it's a fit for you, because it's all about helping ladies over 40 really improve their physical fitness, their athletic performance, but also working on if you have cholesterol that just won't seem to go down, blood pressure issues, palpitations, things going on with your heart that are interfering with your athletic performance. Let's talk. Let's see if I can help you find a solution. So head to defyagingformula.com/register. Listen to my masterclass, see what you think, and schedule a call with me at the end if you're interested in talking about how I can help you with boosting your athletic performance and helping you with those heart issues. Because hey, the number one cause of ladies' death is heart disease. Let's not let another lady die of this. All right. You survived another episode of The Health Fix. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Hey, fellow health junkie. Thanks for listening to The Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.